Oh, let us pray. Oh, Jesus, we come realizing what Jonahs we are at times. And we ask that truly we would find help and hope in his difficulties and find that there is grace to help in time of need. We ask that you would give us a fresh glimpse of your power to deal with sinners and sins and lift us up from whatever depths in which we find ourselves. We ask it for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. We'll look in God's word at Jonah 1:14 through 2:10. Let us hear God's word. O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and let us not be innocent. Let us be innocent of his blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Here is God's most holy word. Dr. Ferguson speaks in his book, Man Overboard, of this book, saying that it is the God-breathed narrative of Jonah, and it accomplishes what God has sent it forth to do. We are taught how Jonah learned in a profound way the truth that runs like a plot line through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Salvation is from the Lord. And God puts us in the gymnasium of his providence. And he teaches us that he is sovereign and that he will bring his word to whom he will. And often it begins with us. Going down without the ship. I thought this might be the title that I could have laid to this scripture today, because it seems that it has been appropriate for my life in the last few days. And when I saw two of my former members from Rose Hill, I thought, yes, it is very appropriate for me to talk about myself as going down without a ship because of one incident that happened while I was there. And I think it's appropriate in light of preachers. One day, I was in the pulpit, sitting there ready for the service to start. This is Rose Hill up on South Saluda. And my first church, I was there for 11 years. Hope nobody from there will have anything to say about that. Anyway, I caught a glimpse of something black coming in the back door, low to the ground. The door was at the ground level, and soon I realized it was none other than a black cat. And I thought, oh my, some people are allergic to cats in this place. And as the cat ambled forward up, I could see it from time to time coming out from the pews and going back under the pews. And when it got to the very front, in front of right to the side of the pulpit where it could see me, it took an absolute terrified run out the door. And in a sense, I thought, that's pretty appropriate. I won't comment on what was said about some of my sermons in days past or what might be said about the one today. Going down without the ship. This week, I've gone down without my cell phone. And that's like going down without the ship in our day. I have all the members of the church on that phone and all the emails that come to me from the church on that phone. And the phone vanished in the snow. That's all I can tell you. It vanished in the snow. And several other things vanished. I can't remember quite all of them this week. There were several dreams I have held on to for several years that seemed to finally fade beyond the point of retrieval. Not that I'm asking for any sympathy, but I'm thinking that this is sort of like Jonah when we think about. Also, this morning I had to go buy new glasses because I'd broken all the others. So it has truly been a sinking ship, a sinking without a ship for the whole week. And I was able to recall from my childhood this hymn as I began to think about Jonah and things going down. And I was reminded of about 1967. My aunt told me, "Craig, Gandhi's coming." I said, "Gandhi?" "Yeah," they said, "he's from Alabama and he can really preach. And it's going to be something to be heard." And so we all were in a spellbound state, wondering what in the world was this man going to preach on. And so he started the service with us all singing, "Nearer, My God, to Thee." And then I realized what he was going to do was preach on the sinking of the Titanic. And I have never heard anything like it. And I'm not going to preach on the sinking of the Titanic. But I'm going to tell you something about the Titanic in light of property and prominence and permanence in life, and also in regard to anything that we might even hold on to as our reputation, our signature that we might have thought we've pushed onto a piece of paper and we had finished our work in some sense. Well, on the Titanic, there were some very prominent people, and their power and their property could not save them. One was John Jacob Astor IV. As I looked, were among them were Benjamin Guggenheim, who was exceedingly prominent and wealthy. Also, Mr. and Mrs. Isidore Strauss, he was a co-owner of Macy's department store. And as they offered his wife a place on the lifeboat, she turned back and said, "I'll go down with my husband." And so went Mr. and Mrs. Isidore Strauss. Also, the captain, John Edward Smith, went down with this ship. And they had written on the side of it, you know, in Ireland where it was being built, "Unsinkable." And how much in our life do we think of our reputation or our wealth is really unsinkable? We are secure. Well, it was thought that Thomas Andrews, who really designed the Titanic in many ways and was actually writing up some improvements to the boat as it was sliced by the iceberg, he was on board and he had designed the thing and he went down with it. Well, so much for the sorrows of certainties in this life. Because there is nothing really secure here. Even preachers are not to be fully counted on. And Jonah is the proof of it. Here, Jonah, I looked him up as in other scriptures, if I can get my paper put up there. There's words about him in as being a contemporary, or at least as following Elisha and Elijah, these great ones, these great prophets of the scriptures. He prophesied that the border of Israel was going to be restored as far as the Sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which was spoken by his servant Jonah. He had been known as a prophet. He probably thought it was time for him to go home and put his signature on his career and be done with it. But God had something else for him to do. And often, I think we are like Jonah. We think that we have finished, that we have retired, that we have done it. And even ministers can think that way. I tell this with some fear and trepidation, but I think it's appropriate to me, at least. There is a wall in our new bridge, which is a magnificent building, and I'm delighted to be able to serve you, hopefully, from that place. But on the third floor, it has two plaques on one of the outer walls. In fact, the wall that is to be made glass eventually, and it says, temporary wall on both sides. And what do you think is in the middle? Pictures of all the preachers. And I thought I should be the biggest one up there. Temporary. We have not arrived in this life. There's not one of us. However big our name or small our name might be, that can say permanently secured in his ministry, however monuments might have been put up to them, and there's certainly none been put up to me, but we haven't arrived in this life. Even the great preachers have not. And Jonah apparently had been one of them, been among the greats, that's for sure. And the Lord God of Israel had spoken through him. And the thing that we need to keep in mind is that Jonah is given another commission, probably when he thought he was retired. And it was from the sovereign God. And he said to Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, that its evil has come up before me. And Jonah rose and fled to Tarshish. Now, you all know that story. That is toward, apparently, Spain. He goes in the opposite direction from where he's supposed to go. And later on, we find out why. Because he wants these heathens to get destroyed. Because he knows that they are ultimately probably going to come against Samaria, come against Israel, and destroy it. Somehow he knows that there is a day coming that these people are going to be disaster to the so-called people of God. And so Jonah pays the fare. And he gets on the ship. And he goes in the opposite direction. Have you ever paid more than you intended for something? Well, Jonah paid a lot more than he intended. He may have used his whole life savings, his 401k of whatever a prophet might have had in such a day as this. But he was going to flee from the Lord, and he goes down where? Into the belly of the ship, and he goes to sleep. And the sovereign God, and that means God is in control, as you know, of all things. It says he hurled a great storm on the Mediterranean Sea. And it must have been one of them. Sunday's snowstorm could not hold a candle to it. That nor'easter that's going up there right now, I think still, could not hold a candle to this storm. And apparently the captain of the ship, though, had to go down in the bottom of the ship. And Dr. Ferguson, who wrote this book, Man Overboard, which you all ought to read, says he probably only found Jonah because he was snoring so loud. He was safe and secure from all alarm, he thought. But the God of the ages and history and the weather was not finished with him. And he decided that he was going to arouse this sleeping prophet. And so he did. He interposed with the weather itself. God is sovereign. And ultimately, there's a truth here. We can only be safe if we are in the center of what God is wanting us to do. And I apply that to me first. And I'm asking God to have mercy on me because I don't always want to be in the center of what he wants me to do. And I told one of our assistants this week, I said, I didn't do what I could, I did what I would. Well, God wants us to do what we can do in his service. And remember that he is the great God who has called us. And we all have a calling. It doesn't have to be a ministerial calling. We're all called to a certain destiny and service of him. And it is of ultimate importance that we are seeking, Lord, how would you serve me today? Use me for the greatest and the best that I can possibly see a use in. Do you ever pray like that? Lord, use me. Give me a destiny, a big destiny and a destiny for today. We should be. We should be looking at that. We realize that seclusion then cannot satisfy. We think, well, if I just had enough money, if I could win the lottery and go hide somewhere, I would be safe and secure from all alarms. Well, it doesn't work. And Jonah is a good example of it. There's still the weather. There's still the San Andreas Fault out there. There are other things that could come to play in this world. What's collecting around my heart anyway? I've had some these scans that they don't really go in there to look, but they look from the outside and they say, well, there's a little calcium around there. Well, there's nothing in this world that's secure. Aunt Lizzie Peterson lived to be 101 in 45 days and she died. Tom McCutcheon just this week said, I'm 97, and I said, well, that's almost 100 years. And he said, yes, and it's been just like that. Well, 100 years, you said, oh, well, I've got plenty of time. And I probably could do it because I got some of the genes to do it. You might think like that. I'm scared to think like that. But anyway, we are not safe in this world ever, but we're only safe in the security of God's will. And Jonah comes to realize that, and he does something that is quite appropriate and important. He begins to pray. And that's what we come to in chapter 2. And then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. That's a place of the dead, in other words. Sheol was a place where the dead had gone in the Old Testament day. And he's calling out of the bottom of the ocean, the worst and the lowest place that he can be. And he has said, and you heard my voice. And you cast me. I didn't cast me, but you cast me, O Lord, into the deep and into the heart of the seas. Dr. Ferguson refers to the Apostle Paul when the man is called on to go and pray and minister to the Apostle Paul, who is Saul, the persecutor of the church. All that the man says, he's the one that persecutes the church. And God says to him, he is praying. That's the first sign that we're getting right with God. He is praying. And it says here, I call to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. You can't get too low to start praying to the God of the ages. So don't give up on yourself. Call on him is the lesson here. The flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows have passed over me. Sounds like Psalm 42. The worst of the worst. Then call on the Lord. Don't give up. He is the sovereign God. He can control the weather. He can turn hearts. I can't guarantee how he will do it, but he can do it. He said, I'm driven away. But he says, I will look again to your holy temple. Oh my, the curtains are beginning to part. He is saying, I will look again. I'm praying. I'm looking, God, to your holy temple in prayer. And maybe he was looking to seeing it again, the real temple in Jerusalem. And waters closed over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head and roots. At the roots of the mountains, I went down, whose bars closed over me forever. Boy, he must have thought that this was the end. He had to think it was the end. Weeds tangled around his head. I can think of all that seaweed. I don't like the ocean anyway. Anyway, at the roots of the mountains, he went down. I went down to the land whose bars closed on me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. That's what we need to do. When we are perishing, when we are prostrate, we pray and we remember the Lord. And I need to be the first one to do that. And you brought up my life from the pit. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. But with the voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. He had despaired of all usefulness before, but now he says, my ordination, what I have promised to you, I will do. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah onto dry land. A miracle. God prepared the storm. God prepared the fish of salvation. God sent Jonah again on his way. George had this little thing of the song, "The God of Second Chances," and third and fourth and fifth is what it amounts to. He is the God who does not give up on us. Are we going to be grateful in our trials and in our suffering, knowing that God is sovereign? May we. Johnny Erickson Tata is referred to. She says, "I know that you can do all things, Lord, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." And she is confident that I don't really mind the inconvenience of being paralyzed if my faithfulness to God while I'm in the wheelchair will bring him glory. That's accepting the sovereignty of God and knowing that he can use anything for his glory and his purpose and his evangelism of bringing others to know him through me, even though I have messed up and gone to the depths. "Other refuge have I none," wrote Charles Wesley. "Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing." On and on it goes. And Jesus refers to Jonah. And he says, this generation, that is the generation in which he lived, would have the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. What? Jonah was a prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. His being swallowed up in apparent death, true death for him, and yet being raised on the third day. Jonah was real. He was a person. The fish was real. Jesus believed it. It also spoke of Jesus because he was in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. And God called him out because he was to be the Savior of the world. And Jonah was in that line of salvation. And so are you. And so are you. And so is me. So I am, I should say. The sign of Jonah. That God has a plan, a destiny for all who believe. To give away his faith. I started to use this hymn, and instead I'm going to close with reading some of this hymn. And we need to be singing it every day. "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Nineveh was saved by the God who would come in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ and give his life a ransom for many, the just one for the unjust. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Yes, Jesus went into the grave that he might come out victorious. The grave actually of Jesus is our fish. It's our Savior. Because by his going in, we will come out forever. Up from the grave he arose, and us with him. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Then the last verse that's very seldom sung. Just as I am of that free love, the breadth, length, depth, and height to prove, here for a season, then above. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. We have a sovereign God who saves and who has set us in this world for a great saving work. May we not shrink from it. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are not able. We are even run off a black cat if it were not for your work and your Holy Spirit working in us. We pray that you would so invigorate us every new day with the truth that you have died to save, that Jonah is our great model to not give up when we have blown it, but to call on you in your holy temple through the blood of our Lord Jesus and to run the race that you have set before us and to be what you would have. Lord, we know that Jonah did not become a perfect person and we will not either. But the prayer is there for us to use. And you have told us to come to you and come to you with a full heart and knowing that you hear, because there is one who stayed in the grave, who went to the grave, who went to the cross in our place. We ask it all for the glory and the name of our Lord Jesus and not our own. Amen.